Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Friday, September 13th, 2013. How'd you like that little scary?
You were almost going to say Monday, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. No, absolutely not. It's been a fantastic Friday the 13th here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And folks need to give us a call. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What a great day. And people are going to say, why was it a great day in the markets today, Melody? Gold was only up $3 or $3. Why is it such a great day? Well, because it was down all day and just had a little bit of a turnaround. We had a low of 1306. We're looking right now just about 1325, down $3. Same thing with silver, 2233, up 50. Platinum up 15 at 1457. And we also have palladium up 12 at 705. So a nice little turnaround in markets, took all day for it to do so. But, hey, it was a five-year anniversary for Lehman's. They had everybody crying the blues on these mainstream media financial programs. And, oh, what a great job. Well, I guess they weren't crying the blues, but, oh, what a great job everyone has done, from Hank Paulson to little Timmy Geithner and little Benny Bernanke. And, you know, it just was enough to make you sick in the stomach, because and perhaps this is their way of setting the people up for the next problem that we face in the markets, thinking that people will look and say, well, yeah, I guess things aren't too bad. The Dow's at 15.3. We were able to claw back some of our losses and turn them into gains, and it's not so bad. But as Al says, buckle up. You had the USDX today trading down slightly, 0.20 at 81.48. Same way with crude oil, basically no change at 108. 108.5. And the paper markets today were trading stronger. It was the best week the Dow had since January, adding about 3%. Naturally, they had to put the kibosh on gold today. They certainly couldn't brag about the Dow being up 3% with gold being higher. So they had to put the kibosh on it. The S&P rose 2% along. NASDAQ was falling at 1.7%. 8%. So the Dow was up 75 points today at 15,376. NASDAQ up 6, 37.22, along with the S&P up 4.5 at 16.87. And the 10-year yield is kind of just tapering in there around that 2.90 mark. Doesn't want to move up. And of course, all eyes are on the FOMC meeting next week. Will he or won't he? Will he or won't he? And it's just like, stop. It doesn't matter if he does, because all he's going to be able to do is bring it back. He might test the water. He could test the water just to see the reaction to the markets and everything. And so if there is any type of a pullback, it's going to be very, very small. And it doesn't really matter, because we're in the same boat that we were in before he did any tapering. So there isn't anything that has gotten better. Although, they do come out and they said, consumers, they bought more cars and furnitures and electronics last month. They did hold back on some other purchases. Maybe that was food. Maybe food. Maybe they didn't drive those brand new cars as often as they would have liked to, because they cut back on gasoline. But spending at retail businesses rose just 0.2% last month, the Commerce Department said today, and it was the smallest gain in 4 months. So I don't know what everybody was cheering about, but the government did come out and said that they did revise the July estimate to 0.4 from 0.2. And, of course, they, excluding the volatile spending on auto, gas, and building supply, sales in August increased just 0.2% or less than half of July's 0.5%. So that doesn't all sound all that good to me. And this is a very important report, because retail sales are very closely watched, because it is an indication of consumer spending. And, of course, consumer spending, as we all know, accounts for 70% of economic activity. So, again, they think with a little bit with this type of report showing a little bit of a healthy sign in the economy, which I to me, I don't view that as healthy, but I guess it is all I guess all things are relative, is what I often say, Al.
No, you've never said that before. We've been talking
for a long time. I say it all the time. I say it. All things are relative.
We've been talking for 10 years now.
Well, that's because...
And I don't remember you once saying all things are relative.
That's because men just don't listen. There. I said it.
I think all troublemakers are relative, or at least all relatives are troublemakers. I guess that's the way I look at it.
They don't listen either. But I did come across a report today. We had some, for those of the listeners that are holding some silver shares, some of the top silver companies today. This was earlier in the afternoon. I saw the numbers, and I thought it would be interesting to report. Yet Hecla Mining, they rose barely. None of them really rose much. Yet the SSRI, they fell 0.03. To 709. Silver Wheaton rose 30 cents to 24.38. Pan American Silver rose 0.02 at 11.15. And Heck. Rose to 3.15. We do need to bring some of those numbers maybe a little more regular, as I know many of our listeners and do carry mining shares. Which, just back them up, folks, with physical gold. That's all I can say. How would you like to have this business, Al?
Which one?
Here's a beef plant. They were built. They completed a $109 million state-of-the-art facility. Northern Beef Packers. They opened their facility in 2012 after years of delay. But now they're in Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And because they didn't have enough money to buy cattle for slaughter.
That's a small oversight. I'm surprised.
They want to borrow to pay their bills.
Who is their accountant? President Obama? Is he working out as their chief financial officer?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. You know, You got that plan ahead. Image that you put up there, PLANAHEAD. You got not enough space to fit it on the. How can you be dumb enough to start a business and not have enough money to buy supplies?
I don't know. Hey, but it isn't
any
better.
I'll tell you what. No. I'll bet they get hired. I'll bet the people in that beef packing plant, there's a job waiting for them in Washington, D.C. They can probably get on as chief economist at the Federal Reserve or whatever.
Maybe, but here's an interesting United. I bet everybody's heard about this. Yesterday, passengers were able to book tickets online for $5 and $10. They did shut down the websites. They're not taking any reservations at all at this point in time. But they had a little snafu there, and they're actually going to honor those tickets. They're actually going to honor the $5 and $10 tickets. And they actually says it was stemmed from a human error rather than a computer glitch. I wouldn't want to be that guy, but. Yeah,
his bonus for this quarter probably won't be all that large. They're allowing people to sign up for airline tickets for $5 and $10 for a trip. Whoa.
Now that's a case of no inflation.
That's a case of, you know, you could sign up for enough airline flights at that rate to keep you in the air for the next several months. You might never have to rent a room. You just live in the airplane. Just get off one airplane, board another one, and so on. You just got to stop in and change clothes once in a while in the men's room or women's room in the airport bathrooms, and your life cruising the friendly skies.
There was a software consultant from the Washington, D.C. area. He discovered the $0 fares when he was booking a business trip to Minneapolis. So he told a couple of the coworkers, and, of course, they were right online booking flights to Honolulu, L.A., San Francisco. But there was another more discussions of inflation, and it's interesting now they're beginning to come out and say that, that they came out PPI. Prices came out today with, of course, inflation pressures benign. But they do come out and say inflation is expected to gradually rise as the economy regains some momentum. Economists expect an announcement on the future of the program could come to the end of next Tuesday. And, of course, they're talking about the their quantitative easing program. Producer prices were lifted by a 0.6% gain in food prices. Food prices were boosted by jumps in the cost of processed poultry, fresh and dry vegetables, as well as soft drinks. And, of course, we all know they take away food and gasoline when they're actually reporting the inflation numbers. So, yesterday, Al, you and I talked about Carlyle Group. Bob Chapman on this program always called the Carlyle Group as one of the elitist companies. The Carlyle Group, and they were in the process of buying a power generation plant in New Jersey and has completed the purchase of 5 power plants in California. And, of course, for those who don't know about the Carlyle Group, they are one of the biggest private equity firms in the U.S. And so they did announce this on Monday. And and then again last month, they had announced they were investing about $200 million in a partnership with Chinese logistics warehouse developer Shanghai Yupai Group for 17 warehouses in China. So our discussion was, it's interesting to see who knows who is behind the purchasing of these generation plants. The financial terms of the deals were not disclosed. Kind of makes you go,
Well, the question is whether Carlyle is putting its own money into these plants or whether Carlyle is fronting and most of the money is coming from China. If the money is coming from China and it's being taken out of their $1 trillion that they're holding in U.S. bonds and cash and whatever, if that's the source of the money, then most of the profits generated by these generating plants, these power generating plants, will be siphoned out of this country and go back to China, which will just create another small drag on the economy. These are one of the consequences. We ran up these big deficits in terms of international trade. And China's sitting on $1 trillion. Where do you suppose those $1 trillion are going to go? They're coming back here sooner or later. And what are they going to do with them? They're going to buy things in this country. And they are not going to buy trips to Disney World. They might buy Disney World, but they're not going to buy tickets to Disney World. They're going to buy institutions, they're going to buy companies that are productive and generating a profit, and then they're going to siphon that profit out of this country and send it back to China. The point is that you think you're getting over, the government thinks it's getting over, when it created this brilliant scheme with petrodollars, where we could export our inflation and we could compel the world to demand our dollars. They needed them in order to buy petroleum. But in the end, we shipped a bunch of dollars overseas, and it seemed pretty clever at the time. But the day is coming when all those dollars are coming back and everything's going to balance out. And whatever good times we had when the money was being kept by China will be balanced out by some bad times when China sends all that excess capital back to this country to buy things. So the lesson in all of this is you can't be too smart for your own good. You can't play all the angles and just try to make a fast buck and just think, to heck with the future, I'm going to get mine now. Now, you have to be reasonable, you have to be responsible, and if you do, you'll probably have a better life. That's the kind of information, the kind of opinion that everybody agrees with, and almost no one is actually willing to embrace. When there's a chance to make a fast buck, most of us are there. But we've got to learn it's not our best, not necessarily our best choice.
We're heading into a break here. We got a couple questions coming in that we'll have to get to. And there's one thing I also want to talk about after the breakout is Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It is amazing what they're keeping track of. And they've also been accused of violating at least two federal laws by using the Impartial U.S. Trustee Program to gather bankruptcy data as part of the data mining campaign. I mean, these guys are mining more information than the NSA is on the citizens, and we'll go into a little more details on that. But it really is incredible how many billions of transactions and what they look to and how they're looking to increase it over the next couple of years.
Well, because there's money to be made.
Oh, you
by following these demographics, it's not just spying in the sense of, you know, trying to catch terrorists. It's spying in the sense of trying to figure out what we buy, where we sell, and from that information, devising a better mousetrap to ensnare us in this system. One of the things that should be done, in my opinion, is to recognize that my data is mine, right? And nobody has a right to collect my data, my age, my occupation, the rest of it. You don't have a right to collect my data without my permission. And if you do, you owe me, let's say, $500 for each instance of data collection without my permission. And if you collect it with my permission, you pass it on to anyone else, you owe me another $500 for each item of data that you send to another party. Under those circumstances, we might be able to hold the data collection at bay. I'm Alfred Attisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs.
And
what's next, Melody?
Make sure the listeners visit our website at dgscoins.com. DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And of course, our programs are archived there on a daily basis. So you can listen at your whim. If you're up in the middle of the night, you don't have anything to do, well, plug into Financial Survival. And,
if you watch tonight, I'll bet there'll be thousands of people that'll be.
I bet.
But 3-4 in the morning.
Not sleeping.
I'm not sleeping at 3 or 4 in the morning. I don't think I don't know. I might listen to Financial Survival, but I think I'd listen to a movie or play a, who knows,
some
sort of a game or something like that.
If anybody would like to call in for a question today, the phone number is 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. And we have a question in from Richard today. He says, why are they knocking the gold price down? There are shortages, supposedly. This will just accelerate the flow of gold to the east. And he can't understand with the COMEX and the LBMA and the gold are empty and all the money that is produced all over. He just can't figure things out.
Well, some of this stuff, it's hard to imagine because it seems irrational. I mean, it's hard for us to understand, but maybe it's their purpose to move the gold to the east. They're certainly doing that. They're causing a flow of gold from Western economies to Asia. It's happening. Everybody understands it. It can't be a surprise. The question is this flow of gold an unintended consequence of holding the price down? Or is it intentional? Is that an objective? And it's the kind of question that sounds like a conspiracy theory. And it may be nothing more than a conspiracy theory, but we live at a time when our government has been giving this country away. When we went into global free trade, government cut the tariffs, and by doing so, allowed and even forced American industries to relocate into foreign countries. And when the American industries relocated into foreign countries, American jobs, productive jobs, were lost. The consequence of that loss continues to haunt us. Anyone who looks at this can understand it, and what's nevertheless, the government persists. No one is in government saying, well, listen, we need to restore our tariffs. We need to bring the industries back home. Their idea of restoring the economy is hiring more government employees who make no productive contribution. Somebody's got to grow some food. Somebody's got to build some houses. Somebody's got to build some automobiles, TV sets, whatever. We can't just live on welfare and government hustle. Any fool should be able to see this, and yet the government persists in the government hustle. And you have to wonder, are they stupid or are they doing it to us intentionally? Because if you look at this situation and you look at it over a period of time, it's hard to avoid wondering if the government is doing what's best for the American people or it's actually working to take us down. Our standard of living is falling, and it's not a new thing. It's been happening for some time. We talked on the program regularly. It was one of the most amazing studies I've seen. Two economists off the East Coast calculate that because of government regulation, we are today, our average, our median family income is $53,000 a year. They said if the government regulation was at the same level it was in 1949, our average median family income would be about $330,000. How many problems do you have, ladies and gentlemen, that you couldn't solve if your income was six times greater than what you're receiving now? And that's the implication. Your income is a sixth of what it might otherwise have been except for government regulation. Is this happening because government are just a bunch of well-intentioned morons, or is it happening because they are malicious and they're doing it to us? They want the nation destroyed. Why won't they even protect our borders against an invasion by illegal aliens? They talk about national security every day. Oh, we're doing this for national security, but they will not protect the nation. So why does this happen? The question started out with the question, why are they knocking the price of gold down and allowing or perhaps causing the flow of, accelerating the flow of physical gold from the United States and Western countries to Asia? Why are they doing it? Why indeed? And why isn't there anyone in the Congress, in the Senate, in the White House who says this has to stop? These are great questions. I don't have an answer for them. I don't have an answer for the why. We're going to have to get, you know, Timothy Geithner, Ben Bernanke, or perhaps Barack Obama on the program and see if they would tell us the truth, which, of course, they won't.
We also have a caller, but let's get to this question first because it's along the same lines. When you're out of paper, there is nothing those criminals in D.C. can do to you or your wealth. When supply dries up and the paper COMEX and the LBMA folds like a cheap shirt, what will be the method for achieving true price discovery and how will it be promulgated?
It'll be the same thing, I guess, that's happened at other times of chaos. Who knows what the – but eventually the description that we're – receiving in that question is, first, the writer, the person who called in that question is saying, first we're going to have some sort of a collapse, and then there will be price discovery. Well, price discovery will initially be a kind of barter system where you're going to go out on the street and one guy is going to say an ounce of gold is worth $5,000 and another guy is going to say it's only worth $500. And there's going to be a certain amount of push and shove before we come to a decision between those two people, and maybe they settle someplace in the middle, or maybe they don't negotiate. But over some period of time, a consensus will develop, whether we should price gold at 5,000 or 500. Will the people begin? There have been averages will kind of work on. Eventually, a market for physical gold will appear. We don't have that right now. There is no market mechanism for determining the price of physical gold right now. The only thing we determine on our markets today is the price of paper gold. All that paper gold, all those shorts and longs and whatever that they use to calculate, they're selling 99 ounces of paper gold for every 1 ounce of physical gold that's traded on the market. The market measures the price of paper gold. That's all it does. There is no market right now for physical gold. I don't think anybody on the face of this earth knows what the true price of physical gold is or should be. It's all based on these derivatives, which are the longs and the shorts and the market, the paper debt instruments and so on. I look at it and I sit back and say, sooner or later, the derivatives, the paper gold racket has got to fail. And when it does, then we will begin to see the emergence of a physical gold market. And it'll take a little while for it to, you know, to iron out all the bumps and whatever, but it'll happen. And it might be a little unstable at first. That they may say gold is worth 5,000 one day and 500 the next. It could happen like that. But we will eventually see a fairly stable and standard price for gold. But we aren't going to see it till we see a physical market. Right now, paper market. We are buying and selling physical gold based on paper gold prices, and I guarantee you those paper gold prices are too low to truly reflect the real value of physical gold. How low? Nobody knows. You know, there are people that talk in terms of gold could be $25,000 or even $50,000 an ounce. Nobody knows what it can be. Nobody knows right now. But we will know, and when we find out, the price of physical gold has to go up dramatically, and the price of paper gold, which is a fraud, will also fall dramatically. And
what we do
we'll
know,
all be amazed and shocked when it happens.
What we do know is it's going higher. We know it's not going to maintain at 13.
I understand.
So,
you know, when you see gold, it went down $33 or whatever yesterday. And people look at it, and some people say, oh, you shouldn't buy gold. Gold is stupid. Let me tell you what stupid is. Stupid is relying on Social Security for your retirement. Stupid is relying on Obamacare to provide you with adequate health care. That's what stupid is. There's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some ups and downs and a certain amount of volatility in gold. But in the final analysis, those people who hold gold, who buy and hold physical gold, they are going to see the day when they're going to say, thank God Almighty, I did not depend on Obamacare. I did not depend on Social Security. I took care of myself. And yes, there were ups and yes, there were downs, but I guarantee you, long term, gold is going to make Social Security, it's going to make Obamacare look so dumb that the people who support Social Security and Obamacare and similar government programs and depend on them, they're going to appear to have had a prefrontal lobotomy. It can't work. We have ups, we have downs, but buying gold is not stupid. The day is coming when it's going to be one of the smartest things you've done in this life.
Let's go ahead and get to our caller. We have Ivan calling us from Pennsylvania.
Yes, good afternoon, Melody and Al.
How are you doing, Ivan?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
I'm still a little bit under the weather. I have bronchitis or head bronchitis, so I'm trying to get rid of it.
Okay, don't breathe into the phone because we don't want to catch it. You know that.
Yeah, too far anyway. I can't blow that hard, you know. But anyway, as far as the gold, I hope Melody will be there to give us a price when if it does come, as far as the gold price will be fluctuating, you know, will be we'll try to get the the price of gold. The other thing I noticed yesterday, which was on main.
Ivan, you're breaking up a little bit on your phone.
Okay. Like I say, the mainstream media, they're talking about India running short on jewelry gold, and they're one of the main purchases of gold in the world, as far as jewelry is concerned, also gold in general. And that was my comment about that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Oh. I'm not absolutely certain of your point, but you're talking about India and what that's happening to their demand. The Indian government is trying to prevent more gold from coming into India. That's caused a balance of payments problem for India, and they're trying to prevent more gold from coming in. But the people of India, they have an appetite for gold that is unmatched anywhere in the world. It is a cultural phenomena. It's not simply an investment in the sense that people think about it in this country. They regard it as wealth, but it's a cultural wealth that they wear on their wives and wear on their wrists and ankles and around their necks and whatever, and they have a completely different demand basis than we have in this country. Will the government be able to prevent more gold from coming into India? I don't see how. That's like they might as well try to prevent more curry from getting into India. They have an appetite for curry. There's going to be a market for curry. Might be a black market. Might be, hard to say what's going to happen, but there'll be a market for curry, and there'll be a market for gold. But they are trying to restrict it, and that's a fact. They're trying to diminish the Indian demand for gold.
Okay,
is it significant? Is that significant? Will it cause the price?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah. That was the point which the TV announcer was talking about, that there is the high demand and low supply, So anyway, you are pointing out the right point, that probably the restriction of incoming gold, or maybe hoarding it by, at the state level, then giving it to the people for purchase. But
I understand, and if they're going to hoard the gold and they're not selling it internally, and they're going to restrict the supply coming in from outside, then it follows that the price of gold in India is going to rise dramatically, and it has already in relationship to the rupee. All right? Mm-hmm. I suppose the government's real intent is to try to keep gold out in order to maintain some illusion of the value of their currency.
Yeah, I fully agree. The other question was on Syria, and in general, there were on press TV. I heard that the Lebanese foreign minister was talking, and he indicated as far as the Christians being killed, how to protect the Christians in Syria, Libya, and some of these other countries where they, where they have the Al Qaeda and some of these rogue rebels or killers there. What happened, of course, in Libya was that it took about 7-8 years to get rid of the Gaddafi's chemical arms. And then what happened? Then they take Gaddafi and they don't have any protection. Is this going to be happening, same thing in Syria, that they'll corral the chemical weapons of Assad, and then once he's more or less powerless to counteract powers to be next door, Israel or whatever, that they'll be at a disadvantage to fight them because of not having any more potent weapons than just regular ammunition.
I think there's a point to be made. Will Syria give up all of its weapons, though? And the answer is no. They have other weapons besides chemical weapons, and I'm not sure how important the chemical weapons really are. They may be more psychologically important than tactically, than important on a tactical or strategic basis. But in terms of Gaddafi at Libya, Gaddafi surrendered much of his military force because the United States government guaranteed to protect him.
Yeah.
Right? That was part of the deal. And in the end, the United States betrayed that promise and even participated in invasion after he had disarmed. There is a lesson here, and it's a lesson for every country on earth, and it's a lesson for every man and woman in this country. If you allow the government to disarm you, you have just made yourself more vulnerable to government. And that lesson has been proven time and time again. I can remember the organization Jews for the Preservation of Firearms. They've done remarkable research. It's been available for 20 years now, probably, showing the instance time after time after time, government disarms the people, and then government perpetrates genocide against its own people. If you want to hold your government in line, hang on to your weapons. The lesson is true for you, me. It was true for Mr. Gaddafi. He didn't get the lesson. He didn't understand it. And it will be true for Syria. To the extent they disarm, they will become more vulnerable. But will chemical weapons be enough to make them vulnerable? I don't know. You know, we've got to, I tell you what, we've got to take a break here. We're 2 minutes into our commercials.
We'll be back in a moment.
Melody Cedarstrom and Yvonne on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
And if anybody has a question for either myself or Alfred, they can call us at 1-800-596-8191. That is 1-800-596-8191. And we do have a caller from Toronto. We have George on the line. Good afternoon, George.
Afternoon, Melody. Afternoon, Al.
Hello, George.
Recently, I just read on our internet website that Goldman Sachs is the seventh largest holder of GLD, you know, the paper gold. And I'm wondering, what are the implications and how they might use that to manipulate the price of gold?
Well, if it depends on what you've got. When you say they've got GLD, do they have long or are they long or short?
Didn't say on the website.
My understanding is that most of these banks that were short on gold and these financial institutions that were short on gold, are they have managed over the course of the last 18 months or so to go long. Now,
okay.
If that were true, it creates an incentive for them to see the price of gold go up.
Right.
So now we're in a situation where those banks and people like myself and you are, in theory, on the same page. That's not necessarily true, but in theory they're on the same page. But they still have a problem. I mean, they'd like to see the price of paper gold go up, and they can't make it go up without the price of physical gold also going up. They still have a problem, though, and that is that they're holding on to paper at a time when the world increasingly recognizes the distinction between paper gold and physical gold. And those people who have an IQ over 90 are preferring physical gold. And those people who are stuck with paper gold are almost certainly going to suffer some significant losses. They've got to find somebody. They've got to find some clowns to buy their physical gold, or excuse me, buy their paper gold so they can get out from under what is almost certainly a losing proposition, and not a small, but ultimately a large losing proposition, although it might take another year or two or however long before those losses are apparent. They're still sitting on a loser.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Well, I guess time will tell.
They're caught between, you know, they're caught circumstances. They're caught between the rock and the hard place. If they sell their paper gold, they're going to tend to diminish the price of paper gold. And whatever they sell is going to, if they sell a third of their gold, the other two-thirds is going to lose value. On the other hand, if they don't sell it, they're going to get caught sooner or later with a bushel basket of paper that has no intrinsic value, and they're going to be ruined. So what do you do?
Why would they do it?
They got into this thing. They were foolish to get into this in the first place.
One way or the other, they're going to get burned.
That's the way it appears to me. Unless they can find some suckers to buy, take that paper gold off their hand. Who do you suppose they could find for suckers to take that paper gold?
Average Joe Blow, I guess.
You're talking taxpayers. The only way they can get rid of that is if they can find a way to pass it off to the American taxpayer. That means they have to bribe Congress, bribe the Senate, bribe the president or whoever in order to pass a law that allows them to somehow dump that paper before the day, before the moment arrives when physical gold begins to dominate prices. And we see prices based on physical gold, not paper gold.
Okay, Al. Thanks a lot for that explanation.
Well, thank you, George. We appreciate your question. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
I've got an article here from Bill Bonner. And he's written in praise of Mr. Putin. And he says, call us traitors, accuse us of treason, say we're Quislings and fifth columnists. But don't forget to mention we're also right. And he's talking about his support for Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, of course, who came out in the last day and published an article at the New York Times, if I recall correctly, but a New York newspaper at least, where he says, look, America needs to shape up. You guys are acting foolishly. Now, Bonner speculates that maybe this is the reason the price of gold fell $33 an ounce yesterday. He thinks maybe it's because of Mr. Putin's speech. And it's an intriguing idea. I don't know that I agree with it. I think there's other reasons involved. But it's an intriguing idea because gold rises. The price of gold, when times are unstable, the demand for gold increases and so does the price. Gold rises in the face of war. So did President Putin inject an element of reason into the Syrian conflict over the last couple of weeks? Did President Putin pull the world back from yet another Middle East war? Has Putin's voice of reason provided the reason gold fell $33 yesterday? What do you think, Melody? Do you think that's possible or just nonsensical?
No, I mean, I think there was a little bit of war premium in the rise in the gold price that we saw in gold. And yes, I believe when the arrangements were made in order to, or at least the speak has softened, you're going to see that war premium come out of gold. The gold shares, the ETFs that George was talking about, it is it's supposed to be the largest physically backed gold exchange traded fund in the world. But there's no accounting. Nobody knows how much gold is there. So we really don't know, even if they did begin to sell off the shares that they hold in the ETF, whether it would have any impact. It could have a psychological impact. But psychological impacts are usually temporary. They don't last very long because no one knows how much gold these ETFs really have. That's the problem. They're not monitored. They're not audited, just like everything else that goes on financially in this country. There's no accountability for anything. It's just made up. It's just an illusion that has been created. So that's the problem with Goldman Sachs. You know, again, I think it mainly be a psychological impact, not a long term. In fact, because we don't know how much gold is there. And yesterday, and we're going to have swings. We often talked when Bob Chapman was here. We talked about having swings, $50, $100, $200 day swings in gold. I think gold, when we have pullbacks like we've seen, yes, I do believe some of it was war premium and it came out. They cannot have gold prices rising. It goes against everything that they have produced in order to sway the public that we have in an economy that's in a recovery. If gold prices rise, it goes against everything, all their reports, all their stats, everything that they produce to create this another illusion in the markets. It just blows it all up. They have to have lower prices, and they will do everything possible to keep it. Now, they can't hit it so hard. I don't think they would hit it to where it would go to 800, because that also is it creates a picture that's not real. They do have to keep some sort of reality to it. I mean, it's what a bizarre world that we live in. There's so little reality, but we talk about norms. These norms are going to have to come together. Norms will rule. Reality will come back into these markets. And there is a day of reckoning coming. There is accountability that will have to be held to. And it's really kind of bizarre, Alan. I probably went off in a direction that maybe didn't even answer your question, if I believe it was because Putin's voice of reason made gold fell 33. I think what Putin did was make arrangements with Syria. That's what, and it took the war premium out of gold.
Yeah, might be. So I don't care, Frank. I don't care personally if the price of gold falls to 50 cents an ounce.
No.
Right? As far as I'm concerned,
gobble it up.
Good news. You darn right.
Gobble it up.
All right. Again, you know, we talked earlier about, you want to talk about something stupid. People say, oh, don't buy gold. I don't, if gold fell to 50 cents an ounce, people say, oh, look, gold is a loser. Look, let me tell you what a loser is. Social Security is a loser. Obamacare, a loser. Unemployment, a loser. You understand? I guarantee you the day is coming when gold is going to be one of the most extraordinary investments you could possibly have, and those who have it will be delighted. And if the price falls to 50% or 50 cents an ounce before we get to that day, it suits me just fine, because I am going to acquire every ounce I can lay my hands on. All right? Might not be the best investment between now and tomorrow, now a week from now, now and a month from now, but a day is coming. when everybody's going to sit back and say, boy, oh boy, were you smart to get gold.
Does anybody think that it was just a coincidence that on the 10th of September they made the announcement that the shareholders of Cyprus, largest bank, elected six Russians to sit on its new, we talked about this yesterday. Do you think it's a coincidence? Heck no. There are no coincidences in this world. You know, the Russians are going to do what's best for the Russians. Putin's
well,
going to do
that.
What's best for him.
I admire that.
No. Putin will do what's best for him and the banking cronies that he's involved with that doesn't have anything to do with the country of Russia. They're just maybe a beneficiary of it. But all of these leaders are only going to do what's best for them and for these banking cronies that keep the system. They get more powerful. They get more wealthy.
I don't see Putin as helping. He may be helping some banking cronies, but he's not helping the Rothschild, what you could call the Rothschild banking institutions around the world. He's not helping them. He does not appear to be working for the New World Order. For the most part, Putin appears to be doing what is best for Russia. I might not agree with everything he does, but I at least admire him for doing what's best for his own country. I talked earlier in the program about we have a government that moves our jobs and our industries overseas. We have a government that invites illegal aliens to invade this country. We have a government that is regulating us into poverty. We have a government that is not doing what's best for the American people. And I don't think there's anyone in the audience who can point to a congressman, a senator, a president who's actually working for the best interests of this country. I know there's a handful. There, Ron Paul was there and the rest of it. There's a handful. But by and large, no one can be easily perceived where you sit back and say, well, that guy's doing what's right for America. Who do you see? Russian Putin's doing what's right for Russia, in my opinion. I admire that. I wish we had people in this country, in our government, who would do what's right for the American people rather than what's right for special interests like the big Wall Street banks and the rest of this. The whole thing becomes infuriating at times.
And it is such a... It does. And it does. And yet, yes, we can point fingers. We can do this. We can do that. Everybody has a bit of blame to take, or we should take a little responsibility. You know, we vote these idiots into office. We vote them. We don't pick up the phones and call. You know, it was amazing. I heard Ron Paul's son, Rand, talk about the phone calls that they received about the Syria war. It was 100-1.
Yeah.
It changed their minds and their views. It can be accomplished.
Yeah, we can make a difference. That's part of the lesson here.
We
can make a difference. It's difficult, but we can make a difference.
Yes, we can.
All right, and that's cause for celebration. Here's another cause for celebration. TGIF, we are out of time. We're done for this week. We'll be back on Monday. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstrom here on Financial Survival. I want to thank all of you for listening. See you Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Money.